was some good singing there, man. I'm telling you, boy. Woo! Got me wanting to preach this morning. I'm going to try to keep it under, the elder said, 60 minutes. I'm just kidding. They didn't say that. It is good to be here. It's good to see you all. If you're visiting with us today, we appreciate so much you all being here today to share this day with us. If you're in the audience and you're looking for a church home, look no further. You're not going to find another congregation like Austinville on the face of the earth. I can just go ahead and tell you. If you don't believe me, ask me. And I'll tell you afterwards, look no further. But it is good to see you all. It's good to be back. We've been away this weekend at the Last Leaders, and I am just fired up about that. We are going to get involved with Last Leaders this year, and we're going to hit that thing head on. I'm so excited. A lot of our members are still there. Mark was one of the MCs. It was funny seeing him up there. He did an excellent job, him and Miss Polly. I had a kick of trying to send Polly text messages to mess her up while she was sitting on the stage up there. But we had a great time, and y'all pray for them that they can have a safe trip back today. The kids did a wonderful job, and I think John Vanderberg later on tonight or this for evening services, he's going to announce some of the awards and things that our kids got. But we're happy to be back with you all. Normally on a day like this, we talk about something that is very, very important, and it's the resurrection of Christ. And it is so important, because without the resurrection of Jesus, nothing else is possible. Nothing else at all. Nothing else matters without the resurrection of Jesus. The church does not matter. The gospel does not matter. Heaven does not matter. Hell does not matter. Nothing matters without the resurrection of Jesus. But did you know that there is one thing that's more important than the resurrection of Christ that we may not talk a lot about on this day? And that's what I want to talk about today. I want to talk about the one thing that's more important than the resurrection of Jesus. And that one thing is telling people about it. Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever thought about the fact that the resurrection of Jesus has no power in the hearts of men if we don't tell people about the resurrection? Turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and let's start off with this text to show you how important it is to tell people about not just the resurrection of Jesus, but his death and his burial also. And then later on in my lesson, I'm going to show you the most, what I found to be the most difficult thing when it comes to sharing the gospel with people about Jesus. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning with verse number 1, Paul talking to the church at Corinth, reminding them of where they had come from, reminding them why they were saved and how important it is. Beginning with verse number 1 of 1 Corinthians 15, Paul said, "Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preach to you, which you also receive and in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast the word which I preach to you, unless you have believed in vain." So Paul said, listen, I came to you, I preached the gospel to you, you received the gospel, you stand in the gospel, you obeyed the gospel, you are saved by the gospel, but you have got to hold on to that word. You have got to hold on to that gospel that I presented you. Well, what did he present them? Look at verse 4. Paul said, "I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day according to the scriptures." Paul said, "I presented the death of Christ, I presented the burial of Christ, and I presented the resurrection of Christ to you. You received it, you stand in it, you obeyed it, and you are saved by it." And so when we look at the resurrection of Jesus, it is so important. It's important just like his death is important. It's important just like his burial is important. It's what makes all things possible And we have to share that message with the people that we want saved. We have to share that message with the people that we want to go to heaven. But there's some difficulty when it comes to sharing the gospel. Turn your Bibles, if you will, to Luke chapter 8. And what I want to talk to you about today is the parable of the sower. The parable of the sower. And in Luke chapter 8, we're going to begin at verse number 4. I love those pages turning like that. Sounds like fried chicken just sizzling in the pot. Y'all keep turning. Verse number 4, it says, "And when a great multitude had gathered, they came, and they had come to him from every city, he spoke by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed, and he sowed, and some fell by the wayside, and it was trampled down, and the birds of the air devoured it. Some fell by the rock, and as soon as it sprang up, it withered away because it had lacked moisture. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And others fell on good ground, sprang up, and yielded a crop 100-fold. And when he had said these things, he cried, 'He who has an ear to hear, let him hear.'" So we see in this parable here, Jesus is using something that's familiar to the people. And he did that a lot of times. And that's something that we've got to learn to adapt to as well. We've got to learn to use illustrations that people are familiar with. And sometimes if you're talking to an auto mechanic, you may have to use the illustration of working on a car to get them to understand the gospel. If you're talking to a farmer, you may have to use the illustration of farming to get them to understand the gospel. If you're talking to a doctor, you may have to use the illustration of operating to get them to understand the gospel. But we meet people where they are. And Jesus talks about this farmer who went out and he sowed seed. And whenever you sow a seed, there is potential in the seed. The sower's plan is simple. He took the initiative. It's important to take the initiative. He decided to work hard. He had a product. His product was the seed. And to properly distribute the product was his plan. To get his rows all lined up and the holes all lined up pretty, and then go back through and drop his seed. And in his mind, he was hoping to reap the rewards of his labor. That was his plan. The reason why this was the sower's plan is because the sower understood that the seed had potential. All seeds have potential. I know because I used to garden with my grandmother, and I'm telling you something, I used to hate it. Y'all thought I was going to say I used to love it. No, I just used to like the reward of eating from the garden, but I hated the garden. I used to like to till the garden, but I did not like getting out there doing the other things that we'll talk about a little later on. But the seeds have potential. They have the potential to multiply. They have the potential to produce something that's going to be beneficial to others. And the reason the farmer went forth to sow his seed is because he understood that the seed had potential. If he did not believe the seed had potential, he never would have went into the field. He never would have taken the initiative. He never would have worked hard to get the rows and the holes like they're supposed to be to put his seed in. He never would have done it if he did not believe the seed had potential. But he knew the seed had potential. And so he went forth to sow the seed. But in this illustration that Jesus gave, he talks about all of these different soils that the seed fell upon. And then we have a problem. These soils that we find here, the first one right here is the packed soil, the one that fell upon the wayside. This was the part of the field that the people walked upon. And they walked upon this area of the field so much that the soil was compacted. And even if the seed failed and it was buried just a little bit, it still couldn't go any further because the soil was so compacted. And that's where one of the seeds fell. And the Bible says that it was trampled and the birds ate it up. They destroyed it. The other kind of soil was the stony soil. This is the rocky soil. And when this seed fell, it could not take root because of the rocks. And eventually the sun scorched it, and it too was destroyed. The other type of soil is a thorny soil. And though this soil gave root to the seed, because of the thorns, it could not grow. The thorns choked the life out of the seed. And then the last type of soil was the soil that was not compacted, the soil that didn't have rocks, the soil that didn't have thorns. And the seed fell upon that, and the Bible says collard greens went everywhere, y'all. Everywhere. Now, that's me. Now, that's not in the Bible. That's just me. I'm trying to help you see it. Okay? So what does all this mean in the parable of the sower? Let's jump down to verse number 11. Jesus tells us what he's talking about. Verse number 11, now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. And so in this parable, Jesus was teaching them about the word of God. The word of God being the seed, the word of God has potential. The word of God has potential to multiply. The word of God has potential to make an impact upon the lives of the people that it is given to. It has great potential. And the Lord wanted us to understand that it has potential because he wanted us to have motivation for telling people. You see, if there's no potential in this word for changing lives, then we're not going to be motivated to carry it and plant it in the hearts of people. But it has potential. It's powerful. Hebrews 4 and verse 12 says, the word of God is living and active, quick and powerful. It can change lives. And I am living proof of that very fact. Jesus goes on in verse number 12 saying, those that fell by the wayside are the ones who hear the gospel, and then the devil comes and takes it away, takes the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. You see, Jesus here is using the illustration of sowing by showing us the comparison of a seed and soil to the word of God and the hearts of people. This is a heart thing. Jesus says, we go out and we take the word and we plant it in the hearts of people, but something happens. Something happens. There are different hearts in the world. And so he says, the devil comes to the first one and takes it out of their way, takes it out of their heart, lest they should believe and be saved. The second one is the stony heart in verse number 13, the one who fell among the rocks. And when they hear it, they receive it with joy, but there's no root. And they believe for a while, but in the times of temptation, they fall away. And then there's the third heart, the one that fell among the thorns in verse number 14. These are the ones that fell among thorns. And when they had heard, they go out and they are choked with the cares of life, the riches and the pleasures. And they bring of no fruit to maturity. And then there's that last heart, and that's the one that has the good soil in verse number 15. It's the one that fell upon the good ground. And these are those who haven't heard the word with a noble and good heart. They keep it and they bear fruit with patience. He is dealing with the hearts that we run into. We encountered these people. We were one of these individuals. Some of us may be somewhere today on this board when it comes to the heart. Some of us may not be rooted as we should be, and at any given moment, there's a potential of that seed being taken away. Satan may be picking at your heart right now to get you to leave God. Some of us may be on the stony ground where we haven't been rooted and grounded yet. Some of us may be among the thorns where we are being choked by life. Then there are those who are on the good ground. They're rooted. They're stable. They're able to help others. There is a problem when it comes to telling people about Christ, telling people about his death, telling people about his burial and his resurrection. And you know what? It's not actually telling people that we serve Jesus and telling people that he changed our lives and telling people that he can change your life, that's not what the problem is. I believe the problem is seen in Genesis chapter 3, verse 17 through 19. You're going to be like, Tony, where did you get this from, brother man? But let's read it. You remember before God said this, he had given them the perfect world. They didn't have to do a lot of work. He gave them the Garden of Eden. All they had to do was just take care of it. There were no thorns. There were no thistles. Everything was perfect. All they had to do was go out there and plant those collard greens, and they just sprouted up. Y'all, if y'all hadn't figured this out yet, I'm throwing a hint to somebody. But after they sinned, things changed. And in Genesis 3 and verse 17, the Bible says that God said to Adam, because you have heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for your sake. Notice, in toil. In toil, you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth, and you shall eat of the herb of the field, and in the sweat of your face, in toil, in the sweat of your face, you shall eat bread till you return to the ground. Do you know why many people don't have a garden? Because many people don't like the toil. Many people don't like the sweat. Many people do not like removing the thorns and the thistles and the bad grass that grows up around. That was the part of gardening that I did not like. And that was the part that my grandmother, for some strange reason, always wanted me to do. Get the hoe and go out there and get up the grass that was growing around the collard greens. And I'm like, Ma, just let them grow. Leave them alone. Tony, they can't grow with all of those weeds around them. And I never understood it. And I didn't really care to understand it. All I know is the hoe was heavy, the pick was heavy, I was hot, I was sweating, I was dirty, and they were playing basketball down the road. Given a choice to a 13, 14, 15 year old, which one you think he's going to choose? I didn't like the toil. I didn't like the labor. I didn't like the sweat. I didn't like the heat. And herein is where I believe the difficulty is when it comes to teaching people about Jesus, his death, his burial, his resurrection, the church that he built, and so forth. The difficulty is not in necessarily presenting that to people, but the difficulty, I believe, comes when it's time to cultivate the heart. How many times have you tried to present the gospel to someone and they didn't accept it and you said, well, I'm shaking the dust off my feet and I'm moving on, and never went back to that person? How many times have you met someone and tried to talk to them about the gospel and it seemed so difficult that you just gave up and said, I'm through with it? They'll come around at some point. How many times have you tried to teach somebody about the gospel and you knew they were going through something in their life and you said, they're just not ready yet. They're going through too much. Y'all, that's the cultivation. The word cultivate means to prepare and prepare for use in raising and growing crops. It also means to improve something or improve it by labor, by care, and by study. So what does all this have to do with the parable of the sower and presenting the message of Christ to people? Let me show you. You see, I think reaching people, converting people, and keeping people faithful to the Lord does not necessarily come with us presenting the gospel to them, but with following up and cultivating the heart for reception and for retention. You see, we may be good at presenting the gospel, but are we good at creating an environment of retention to where when they're converted, they're not going anywhere? What do you mean by that, Brother Edwards? Turn to Matthew chapter 13. And let me show you what I mean by cultivating the heart of people with the gospel. Matthew chapter 13 is the same thing as Luke chapter 8, verse 4 through 8. Matthew just presents a little bit more information that Luke doesn't present. And it's beautiful. Look at Matthew chapter 13. We're going to begin at verse number 4. We're not going to read it, but if you would know the verse 4 through 8, it's the same thing as Luke chapter 8, verse 4 through 8. Same exact thing. But I want to go to the explanation. And the explanation is found in verse 18. Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom, and notice what Matthew adds that Luke doesn't have, and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and takes it away. You see, the reason Luke said that the wicked one took it away, Matthew says it's because they didn't understand it. So what is our responsibility when it comes to cultivating the mind of a person with the gospel? It is to help them understand, and we cannot assume that just by telling them that they truly and fully understand. We can't do that, y'all. We've got to cultivate that mind. We've got to cultivate that heart. And sometimes that means breaking it down to the level of a 3-year-old child. Sometimes that means teaching them about one passage. Sometimes that may mean teaching them about faith instead of faith, repentance, confession, and baptism. Sometimes that means taking time with them to cultivate that heart. You see, that's where the toil is. That's where the thorns and the thistles are. That's where the sweat is. And the frustration. But what else does he say? Let's keep going. In verse number 2. But he who has received the seed on thorny places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, yet he has no root, notice, no root in himself, and he endures only for a while, and then when tribulations and persecutions arise because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Notice that right now. Notice that this person received it with joy, but they have no root. And as soon as persecution and tribulation came, they withered away. They faded away. What's the cultivation here? The cultivation here is to help them become rooted by being there for them every step of the way through everything that they're going through in life. It's not just converting them in baptism and saying we got a new brother and sister in Christ and never doing any follow-ups after that. It's being there with them every step of the way, letting them know that I am your brother, I love you, I'm your sister, I love you, and whatever you go through, I go through with you. Y'all, that's the cultivation. That's the toil. That's the thorns and the thistles. That's the sweat. Look at the next verse. Verse 22. Now he who received the thorns received the seed among thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. I believe this is similar to the previous one, in the sense that the reason this person here faded away is because of the cares of life. Distractions. Distracted by things that are not important. And we look at a person that becomes a Christian and then they give all their time to something over here that we believe is not as important. And we look at this thing over here that's pulling them away from God. And we say, man, why are they letting them pull them? Why are they letting this pull them away from God instead of trying to figure out how to keep that from pulling them away from God? You see, that's the hard part. The hard part is trying to figure out how do I help them see that they shouldn't let this pull them away from God. You see, that's the toil. That's the thorns and the thistle. That's the sweat. The easiest one for us is the last one. And that's verse 23. He who receives seed on the good ground is he who hears the word, understands it, and indeed bears fruit and produces it 100-fold. It is a blessing to be able to find people that we can help keep their faith. It's a blessing to be able to find people who hear the Word of God, who understand the Word of God, and who come in on fire, and they have been on fire for the last 45 years. It's a wonderful thing to find people like that, y'all, but the majority of the people that we try to convert are not that. The majority of the people that we convert are not that. Hence, this is where we have got to be. In the cultivating of mind business. It takes work, y'all. Not just to teach people about Jesus' death, his burial, and his resurrection, and to get them convinced to be converted, but it takes work to keep them. And that's where the job begins. What we've got to ask ourselves as individuals, this right here. Are we ready and committed to cultivating? Are you ready to sweat? Are you ready to sweat? If you care about the souls of people and the lives of people, I know you are. If you're here today and you're not a child of God and you want to become one through faith in Jesus, that faith, you know, faith is like a propeller. It pushes you. Faith, you know, you sit there and you doubt and you say, I'm not sure right now. But faith is a propeller. Jesus says in John 8:24, without faith you would die in your sins. Why? Because without faith it is impossible to please God, Hebrews 11:6. And so faith is like a propeller, and faith pushes you to confess Christ. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10. Faith pushes you to repent of your sins. That just simply means live for God the best you can. And when you fall, get back up. Faith pushes you to be baptized in water so that your sins can be washed away. Faith is the propeller. And if you have faith, you have the first step in becoming a child of God. The only thing left to do is to get up and come to this front at the singing of this song, so that your life can be committed to God and He can then begin to fight your spiritual battles for you. Notice I said spiritual battles. Because, see, the sun shines on the just as well as the unjust. It rains on the just as well as the unjust. You see, but the sun and the rain is not what's going to get us to heaven. And according to Ephesians 1:3, all spiritual blessings are found in Christ. See, we want God to fight the spiritual blessings for us. And to do that, we have to be in Christ. If you want to be in Christ today, when we sing this song, come to the front. If you are in Christ, but there's something in your life you need us to pray for you about, or you need to repent of any sins in your life, we love you. We care for you. We want to help cultivate your life in such a way to where you can become rooted and become a strong asset in the kingdom of God. Whatever you need, we're going to stand. Make your request known at that time. Let us stand.